Don't move the furniture. All right, I'm gonna change the order of service a little bit. Where's Aiden at? He already leave? All right. Here, Katie. Just give it to him. He beat me. This is given on behalf of Central Christian Church to Aiden Kaiser for his baptism last week. How many of you was here last week?
Yeah.
All right. Give it to him. All right. Good morning, and thanks for worshiping with us this morning. Before we get into the sermon, I think some ladies went to Indianapolis for Women of Joy. So all you women that went to Indianapolis, stand up. One, two. Ching went to the restroom. I knew she'd cop out somehow. So I'm going to put you on the spot. With one word, all of you describe the time that you had this weekend. One word. Encouragement. Boots. Awesome. Jane? What?
Love.
Hope.
Hope.
All right. Donna.
Joy.
Linda.
Friendship.
Friendship. Okay. Now, I might, you can sit down. I might pick on Ching later on. I've heard nothing but good news that came out of Indianapolis this weekend. So it was an encouraging time for you ladies. I know it was. And hey, us men need something, don't we? We need to go to something. So pray about that. Keep that in your mind. I ran into Linda Baker yesterday, and as she got back, and I said, "How was the conference?" And she said, "It was awesome. We ought to do this every month." And it's like, well, I don't know about every month, but it was a good time. So you know what? Not only conferences, but when we come to a church, you know what we come for? Why do we come here for?
Fellowship.
Fellowship. What else? Worship, praise, encouragement. Hebrews 10:25. One of the reasons we come here this morning is for encouragement. I'm glad you came here today. We are in a Ten Commandments study. Ching. You got one word to describe your weekend. What is it?
Awesome.
Nope, it's already been taken. It's already been taken.
Wonderful.
Wonderful. That was a good one. All right. Thank you for that. If you have your Bibles or smartphones, turn over to Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. And then when you get there, I want you to hold your finger in Exodus 20 in verse 12. And I also want you to look up Ephesians 6, 2 through 3. And we'll get there in just a minute to that second one. But the first one reads this, our fifth commandment. By the way, does anybody have them memorized? Judy, you have the 10 of them memorized? All right, come here, Judy.
Turn a couple around, that'll give you.
All right, there you go.
Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto me any graven image. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not lie. And thou shalt not covet.
All right, that's great. I thought maybe we'd get some King James in there. But anyway, that's pretty good. All right, Exodus 20:12 reads as follows. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land that your God is giving you. Now from the words of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, are you there? In Ephesians 6:2 and also verse 3, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Now, I don't know about you while you were growing up, but I assure you that when I was growing up, I thought my mom and dad were out of line at times. As a matter of fact, they disciplined me times when I didn't think I needed it. Now, I don't need any comments from you. Because you're probably thinking that, yeah, you deserved a few times. And to be honest with you, I did. But there were times when I questioned the authority of my father and mother. Now, I got to be careful because my mom listens to us on Sunday. So I got to be careful about what I say about my mom. But there were times when I got a spanking. Can I say that? Spanking. And you know what? It hurt. And sometimes it was with a belt, sometimes it was a paddle, sometimes it was with anything that my mom or dad could get a hold of, including a bullwhip that I accidentally hit my brother with one time, and I assure you, there's nothing that I've ever got hit with that hurt worse than that. So don't ever hit your kids or even your dog with a bullwhip, it hurt. But there were times I deserved a spanking. Now on the surface, as we look at commandment number 5, it seems pretty simple. But I'm going to share you something about these Ten Commandments. They are not simple. And the further you dig into them, the more difficult they become. How many of you found that to be true? And we break every one of them in one degree or another. So as I look deep inside this, it's easy when you have good parents. When they're easy to honor and respect and to obey. But what about when you don't have good parents? What about when you have bad parents? Parents that treated you mean and terrible. Said things about you in public that embarrassed you. And we'll get onto that further on in the message. I'll talk about that in depth. But we still need to honor our parents. We still need to do that. So why? Well, pull out your bulletins and follow along if you want. I got 6 points. I'll hurry along if I can. Here's some reasons that we should honor our mother and our father no matter what. First of all, we must honor our father and our mother because every parent is flawed. How many of you had flawed parents? Be careful, they might be listening too. We all have. My parents were flawed. Your parents were flawed. If you're a parent, guess what? You're flawed. And when your kids have kids, guess what? They'll be flawed too. There are no perfect parents, and since there are no perfect parents, it gives us ample reason that we should honor our father and our mother. Now, if I went around this room and asked you this question, if there was one thing that you could change about your mom and dad, I'm sure that you could come up with something. How many of you could come up with something right now, right off the top of your head? One thing that I could change. Be careful, Josie and Emma. Be careful down here. But you know what? There's a lot of things I like to change about my mom and dad. But I can't. Matter of fact, my dad's no longer with us. My dad died when he was 64 of myelodysplastic syndrome. You probably never heard of it 20 years ago, but nowadays it's more common. So, can I still honor and respect my father even though he's not here? Of course I can. Now, my kids are 17. Gracie's almost 15, and Macy's 11 to be 12 pretty soon. And they're pretty good most of the time. Not all the time, but most of the time. And it's easy for Ching and I to be parents to them most of the time. But there are times. Matter of fact, I could write a book about those times. And you could too. Look for it in 2022. I might be writing that. But I want you to know, parenting is not easy. Especially when you got a 6'3", 17-year-old son who eats more than I do, Tim. He really does. But you know what? Wouldn't trade it for the world. Wouldn't trade it for the world. Now, I honor and I respect my children, and I hope they honor and respect their mother and father because it is commanded for them to do so and for me to do so in the Bible. Romans 3:23 reminds us that all have sinned and what? Fallen, past, present, and future. Fallen short of the glory of God. So you're not a perfect parent. You never will be. And your kids will never be perfect parents because all of us have sinned and fallen short of the mark, just like a bow and arrow. And I know what you might be thinking. My mom and dad were jerks. Matter of fact, they was real jerks. Matter of fact, I could never honor and respect them for the way they treated me and some of the things that they did for me. Well, we'll cover that because I believe you can. No matter how bad they were, no matter how they treated you, no matter what they did to you, you can still honor and respect your parents, and we'll find out why in just a minute. The second reason we should honor our father and mother is this: our parents brought us into this world. Please finish this sentence. I brought you into this world, and I can take you out. Didn't you just hate those words? And you know what? I've used them. I've used them. And you know, I practice tough love in my house. Anybody else practice tough love? My dad told me when I was a pretty young kid, he said, as long as you put your feet underneath my table, you'll do what I tell you. I respected that. You know what I tell Zachary, Gracie, and Macy? I said, kids, as long as you put your feet underneath my table, you'll do what I say. And I'm a tough lover. I've even told them before, if you don't like my rules, go get your suitcase, pack it up, and right there's the door. And don't think I haven't said it, because I have. And I believe in tough love. I believe we need to discipline our children and do what the Bible tells us to do by disciplining our children. And when we don't, and when they don't listen to what we say, I believe there's drastic things that need to happen, don't you? A lot of people just ignore it. They just let it go and they don't do anything about it. And I want you to know that's terrible to do, because they're going to try you and they're going to do it again and again and again. And pretty soon, guess what? You realize that when they're 18 years old and they're out of the house, oh, I spoiled my child too much and I should not have done that. In Proverbs 17:6, it says this: children's children are a crown to the age, and parents are the pride of their children. I hope that my kids make decisions that make me proud. How about you guys? I hope my grandchildren do things that make me, if I ever live that long enough to have grandchildren, to make me proud. Look what Psalms 139:13-16 says. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Let me repeat that again. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Everybody say it. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in a secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. Friends, I want you to know that is why abortion is a sin. God has knit that baby together and has formed that baby, and He knows the plans that He has for that baby inside that womb before he ever or she ever comes out. How many of you agree with that? That's why abortion is so wrong. That's why it is a devastating sin to have an abortion. God made that child. It's not your child. It's His child. And we need to respect that. And when a baby is conceived, God begins right then and there to make plans for that baby. And when we interfere by taking that baby's life, we sin against the living God. Now, what is that baby going to be? A president, a preacher, a missionary, a school teacher? We don't know what that baby is going to be, but God knows. And He has a plan for every baby that's been conceived. Each and every one of them are special. And as you sit here today, aren't you glad that your mom and dad chose to give you life? Amen? Aren't you glad about that? He has a plan for you. He really does. And He has a plan for that unborn child. The Bible says you were created not only by God, but you were created in the image of God. Now, we don't know exactly what God looks like. We'll know someday. But we were created in His image. And when we interfere with that image, we interfere with God and we fall short of the mark. We sin and fall short of His glory. Now, before we go on to point number 3, I want to take a short survey this morning. Here it is. If some mother went through labor for you, please stand up. Did you hear what I said? If some mother went through labor for you, please stand up. All right, you can sit down. Do you realize what a pain you were? That's why mom and dads can say, I brought you into this world, I can take you out. Well, we were all pains, weren't we? But we were good pains. And the pain that your mother went through to bring you into this world, she deserves your honor and your respect. Just because of that one single thing that your mom did for you in that delivery room, epidural and all, she still brought you into this world, and she deserves your honor and your respect just for that. Now, number 3. We obey our parents so that we can receive a blessing from God. Commandment number 5 is the first commandment with a what? With a promise or blessing. Now look again at Exodus 20 verse 12, especially the last part. It says, honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land your God is giving you. Now when I was a very immature Christian, I thought that Exodus 20 verse 12 can only pertain to the Israelite people. I was wrong. Because Paul clears it up in Ephesians 6 when he says this, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise. Now pay attention, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Now, I truly believe this. If you honor God and you honor your father and mother, no matter what, God's going to give you a good life. Anyone else believe that? Are there exceptions to the norm? I believe so. Why do bad things happen to good people? Only the good die young. Do I have an answer for that this morning? No. I don't know. Do you? I don't know. I do know this, though. The Bible says the rain falls on the just and the unjust, on the righteous and the unrighteous alike. So are there some things in life that I cannot explain? Yes. Are there some things in life that you can't explain? Yes. But I will tell you this, on Judgment Day, everything's going to pan out. It's all going to pan out. So that promise that Moses wrote down in Exodus 20, over 3,000 years ago, pertaining to the Israelite people entering into the promised land to have long life, but it also applies to us when Paul writes in Ephesians 6 that we'll have a good life if we honor our father and mother. That's a promise. We can do that. My dad, I couldn't help but think about him when I was preparing this. He was 64 years old, and he had the greatest honor and the greatest respect for his mom and dad. He honored them, and he respected them deeply to the very end. So I kept thinking, so why did he not get the long life? I don't know. Now, I do think this sometimes. I believe that God takes some people out early because he doesn't want them to face a big temptation. You ever think about that? I believe that's some reason God does. But the other reason is what I just mentioned. Sometimes bad things do happen to good people. Because the Bible promises that. In this world you have trouble, John 16:33. So we need to be ready for that. But no matter what, in what era you live, honor and respect and obedience are key to our parents. In the country of Burma, they respect their elders. They respect their mom and dad, their grandpa and grandpa, grandpa and grandma. Matter of fact, if you're the oldest child in the country of Burma, when you get older, do you know what happens? You take the mom or the dad's inside of your own home and you care for them to the very day that they die. Now, in America, what do? We just take them to the nursing home. Because, man, I don't know. I had a hard time living with you, mom and dad, for 18 years. I'm not sure I'm wanting to bring you back in my home again. That's what we do sometimes. And it's not really our fault, except for the fact that we have allowed our culture to change us. I don't have time for that. Well, I want you to know that time is a key essence to being a parent, and time is a key essence to being a son or a daughter. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. But look at Proverbs 6:20. It says this. 20 and verse 21. My son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them upon your heart forever and fasten them around your neck. I know a lot of girls wear necklaces. Some guys do too. Commemorating something that their mom or dad said to them. It might be a cherished heart inside. Have you seen the ones that have the pictures and all that? You've seen that stuff. But some people wear necklaces reminding them of their parents and the way they were raised. And I think that's a great thing. But we need to remember and honor our father and mother no matter what. Number 4, we must honor and respect our parents even when it's difficult. Leviticus 19:3 says, each of you must respect his mother and his father. Now, Moses doesn't say some of you must respect your father and your mother. He says what? Each of you, all of you, you must respect your mother and father. Now, if you've had terrible parents this morning, parents who hit you, beat you, abused you physically, emotionally, and maybe even sexually, how can you have respect and obedience and honor for your mom or your dad? First of all, If your parents did all these things, you need to remember something. God will bring everything into judgment. Can I get an amen? God will bring everything into judgment, and I believe that an animal that does that is going to be punished severely on judgment day. I believe that. Matthew 18:6 says, if anyone causes one of these little ones to stumble, it would have been better for him to have a millstone tied around his neck and thrown into the depths of the sea. So as far as honor and respect go, we must honor and respect the position of father and mother for the simple reason that they brought us into this world. Now, I'm not sure how far we should go with that, but for the very fact they brought you in this world, you need to respect them for that and have honor for them. Now, in Hebrews 12:9-10, I went back up to verse 7 actually, it says this: endure hardships as discipline. God is treating you as sons, for what son is not disciplined by his father? If not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respect them for that. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. So let me share this before we go on to point five. Whatever your father or your mother did to you, God will take care of that. He's got it. Everybody say he's got it. God's got it. So no matter how bad, how deep that sorrow runs inside your heart, inside your mind, know this, God will take care of it. I know some people that beat themselves up every single day because of something that happened to them by their parents over 40 years ago. Friends, I want you to know, when you allow that to beat you up, you are being defeated from the grave. They are no longer here. They are dead, and they are still beating you up. That cannot happen. Somehow, some way, you got to let that go. We're going to talk about that. Number five, we honor our parents by providing for them. We provide for them. Did you know that the average child costs $249,000 from the age of 0 to the age of 18? And that doesn't mean, that doesn't take into effect if they move back in with you again. Heaven forbid. Friends, it is expensive raising children. Every time I look at my checkbook, I wonder, where did that go? Well, here's what it went for. Meals, we talked about that already. Insurance, when I drop them off to school, costs gas, wear and tear on my vehicle. My three kids are all in sports. They are driving cars now, which means what? Got to have a car. Guess who pays for the insurance? I do. And sometimes I pay for the gas. Well, they got to have the latest clothes, and they got to have books, and they got to have registration. And I could go on and on, not to mention the fact that I have a 6'3" son. Did I mention that earlier? Raising kids and grandkids is expensive. And you know what? I hope they appreciate it. I hope you guys appreciate that. Because someday I'm going to get old. And someday you're going to get old. And if you're already old, welcome to the old place. Someone once said, be good to your kids because they're going to choose which nursing home you're going to spend the rest of your life in. And guess what? There's not too many left in Lawrence County. But one of the best things that you can do to honor your parents is to provide for them. This past Tuesday, I had to leave work a little early because I took my mom to Effingham to have carpal tunnel surgery. Now she's listening to this, so I got to be very careful what I say. Did I mind taking my mom to Effingham? No. Would I have rather went to Evansville? Yes. Did they do a good job on her hand? Yes. Would I do it again if I had to? Yes. Why? Because that's my mom. My dad's already gone, and someone needs to help her out in times when she needs help. And guess what? Myself, my sister Cara, and my brother Curtis, we need to pitch in. We need to help out whenever we can. And one of the very best things, I want you to write this on your bulletin, one of the very, very best things you can do for your mom or your dad is time. T-I-M-E. Sometimes, I know she's listening to this, it's all right. Sometimes my mom will call me, and she'll say, do you know what the Edwards County paper had in it this week? And I told my wife, I don't really care what the Edwards County paper has in it this week. And she'll tell me, well, the Edwards County paper has in so-and-so did this and so-and-so did that. And I'll tell my wife, I don't really care. And I don't really care that much. You know what? I listen the best I can, and I try to be nice about what she... You know what? You know what the problem is? She just needs somebody to talk to. She just needs some... Have you been there before? Just needs somebody to talk to. She needs my time. And as Christians, we need to provide for our relatives. 1 Timothy 5:8. Never forget this verse. Paul says, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse off than an unbeliever. So if you don't provide for your mom or your dad in their time of need, the Bible says very clearly for a Christian, it's worse off than being an unbeliever. So no matter what your mom and dad have done to you, no matter how they've treated you, somehow, some way, try to provide for them in one way or another, especially with your time. Now, what do we say to deadbeat dads and deadbeat moms that don't pay and don't want to interact with their children? That's a tough one. Because I think God will take care of them too, don't you? But here's the thing. They're still your mom. They're still your dad. And you need to do whatever you can to provide for them in one way or another. Do you remember what Jesus said to his mother when he was dying on the cross? There were 7 statements before he died, and one of them was this. In John 19:25, it says, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved, which would have been John, standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear mother, here is your son." And then he said, "John, here's your mother." What was Jesus doing right before he died by saying those words to John and his mother? He was saying, "Rely on John. John, this is your mother. I'm going to die. You need to take care of her." Jesus is taking the sins of the world on his cross, and you'd think he'd have a million things on his mind, yet one of the famous 7 sayings on the cross is, "John, here is your mother, and mother, here is John to take care of you." He was thinking about his mother. And I want you to know, if Jesus can be on the cross thinking about me and thinking about you, and he can be on the cross thinking about his mother, because his father had already died, then how much more should we think about our moms and our dads and honoring them and respecting them? Number 6, and finally, we honor our parents by being honest with them. Ephesians 6:4 says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." That word exasperate means to agitate or to be unreasonable with your kids. Now, don't raise your hand, but how many of you have ever exasperated your kids? Don't raise your hand. I had a friend I grew up with, and his dad, he'd say, I won't mention his name, he'd say, son, I love you. His son would leave the room, and he'd say, "That son of mine, he's such a loser. I wish he would amount to anything, because he's not." And oftentimes he would say that to his face. It would make me so mad. But the fact that he was 7'9", 350 pounds, I didn't say anything to him. But you know what? That's wrong. For you to exasperate your children, to belittle them, and to tell them that they'll never be worth anything, I want you to know that's a terrible wrong. Matter of fact, I would say that borders on sin. Don't ever do that. No matter how big a loser you think your son or your daughter, don't ever do that. Don't ever do that. Some of you are sitting here this morning and you're thinking pretty lowly about your dad. You're thinking pretty lowly about your mom. And you resent them. Matter of fact, you cannot stand them. Matter of fact, you don't even like when someone mentions their name. Don't raise your hand. Some of you are probably feeling that way. But here's the thing. God's going to take care of all that. You just need to find deep down in your heart somewhere how you can honor and respect your mom and dad. And maybe your dad or are already gone, your mom's already gone, and you never got a chance to talk with them and to tell them what you were thinking, here's an assignment. I want you to do this. Number one, go talk to a counselor. Go talk to somebody. You cannot continue to walk around with this heaviness on your chest, because if you do that, it will keep you from being the person that God wants you to be. Number one. Here's the second thing. If your mom and dad is no longer here, you need to get out a piece of paper and you need to write a letter to your mom and dad and say, "Dear mom or dear dad, this is the way I feel. This is the way you treated me. And I'm mad at you and I can't stand you and you make me sick." And you write that letter and you ponder over that letter and you pray over that letter. And then you take that letter and you take it out to the trash can and you burn it. Somehow, some way, you've got to get past the resentment and the hate that you have for your mom and dad, because it's going to kill you. It may not kill you physically, which I think it does. It'll kill you spiritually. It will. Be honest with your feelings and learn to work through them and get help if you need to. Psalm 27:10 says, "Though my father and mother, they forsake me, the Lord will receive me." I like that. And even if our mom and dad forsakes us and they treat us bad and they abandon us and they treat us physically wrong or spiritually wrong and sexually wrong, whatever it is, we have a Heavenly Father who will never abandon us or forsake us, one that will receive us into His kingdom of heaven someday. And as tough as it may be, we have got to honor commandment number five. Honor your father and mother, so it will go well with you in life. It's not always easy, but it is commanded for us in Scripture. Now, if Paul hadn't wrote Ephesians 6, we might have written that one off, but he did. So what applies for the Israelites in Moses' day also applies for us. Somehow, some way, with God's help, we can honor and respect our mother and father. How many of you believe that? We can do that. Let's pray. Father God, I've been around some people that have been hurt in every way, shape, and form. And it is hard for them to honor their father and mother. But somehow, some way, Lord, you have commanded us to do that, and we have to. We have to honor our father and mother, even for the simple fact that they brought us into this life. Lord, help us to do that. If there's someone here today who really struggles with that, Lord, help them to realize the power of prayer, the power of friendship, and the power of the Holy Spirit, but more importantly, the power that you have to make all things right when Christ comes back. It's in His name we pray. Amen.